is a presentation of the Match Talk Podcast Network.
Hello, wrestling fans. It's time for the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource was made that you as a wrestler, parent, coach, or fan can have access to all the resources of the very best in the world of wrestling. I'm three-time wrestling writer and broadcaster of the year, Jason Bryant, and I want you to join me, along with John McGovern and world champions Terry Brands and Dennis Hall, as we talk training tips, topical discussion, mental preparation, and more on the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. World Wrestling Resource is sponsored by Defense Soap. Find World Wrestling Resource on Facebook at facebook.com/World Wrestling Resource and follow us on Twitter at WWRESO and, of course, on the web at worldwrestlingresource.com. Now on to the show as we join John McGovern, Terry Brands, and Dennis Hall.
Episode 55 of the World Wrestling Resource Podcast. We are talking Division II, Division III, NAIA Junior College of Women's Wrestling today with the executive director of the National Wrestling Coaches Association, Mike Moyer. My name is Jason Bryant, here with you again. This show, the World Wrestling Resource, again, proudly sponsored by Defense Soap. Defend what you have built at DefenseSoap.com. Mike, it's Matt Mayhem season, and we say Matt Mayhem, it's not just a catchy title. It actually truly is 86 teams coming to the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum January 4th and 5th, five different tournaments. Just on the college side, of course, New Way's got a bunch of stuff going on outside of the collegiate event, but this has got to be a busy time for you and your staff at the NWCA.
It really is, Jason, and it's one of my favorite events. I mean, the wrestling is always spectacular out in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and there's upsets galore and national champions, you know, going at it, and you know, I think there's 20 mats going on, so there's something for everybody. Let's say it that way.
Yeah, I think I was running some numbers last night. If I could figure out what exactly they were, they're all in the press release that's going out on NWCA online today. 345 nationally ranked college wrestlers this week. That's quite crazy to think about. 345 athletes that'll be on the college mats are ranked either in the top 20, top 12, depending on how these divisions do it. But that's a large number.
It really is. And when you see them just going at it, there's just so many mats. The hardest part is trying to just keep your attention on one mat because there's so much going on. You know, so many great matches going on all the mats. So I love going out to this event every year. It's certainly a highlight.
This thing really kind of took shape when all these divisions came together. It started at Ohio State after Division I. Had its national duels that began in Hampton, Virginia, at of course, my an event near and dear to my heart, the Virginia Duels. Then it traveled around before settling with a multi-duel approach, which really launched in 2002 when the divisions really grew into their own. What was the decision back then, and, you know, geez, at this point, 16 years ago, to create national duel championships for events outside of Division I?
Well, there's just so many economies to scale, so to speak. You know, it's so much easier creating that national championship atmosphere when you have all these teams, all these nationally ranked wrestlers and these nationally ranked teams under one roof at the same time. And it really affords the opportunity for the fan to see a little bit of everything. And if you can't find something exciting going on a mat somewhere, then there's something really, really wrong. And you know, as I said earlier, the hardest part is there's so much excitement that sometimes it requires some discipline to, you know, just stay focused on a particular mat. But it's by bringing all this under one roof, there's a lot of energy, you know, a lot of excitement, and you know, the fan gets to go one place and see it all, as opposed to having conflicting events on the same weekend where you have to choose.
That's one thing that they were under one roof through 2011, and that's one thing you get a lot of questions on about this is when Division I moved away from, I guess, the format a lot of people liked at the Unidome in Cedar Falls, Iowa, at the campus of the University of Northern Iowa. Why was the Division I aspect kind of taken away, and then the other divisions have moved to Springfield, to Des Moines, and now settled in its home in Fort Wayne? So I'm not going to beat up the whole Division I point a whole lot here on this episode, but For those who are unaware, why is Division I all under one roof with everybody else no longer an option that the NWCA could pursue?
Sure. So what really happened is, you know, I think the overwhelming majority of Division I guys, in fact, I was out at the Midlands tournament with you, and I was talking to quite a few of the Division I guys out there that were saying, you know, they really missed those days at Northern Iowa. But what really happened is the Division I coaches wanted to try to move to a model where the teams wrestled their way into a national duels, as opposed to picking them in the prior spring for the next year. And it's virtually impossible to have this event this time of the year with that kind of a model, because you just need more time for the teams to get all their conference dual meet matches completed. That's really, I think, the impetus between why it split. And, you know, now that there are no more Division I national duels, you know, who knows what the future might bring. And maybe we can somehow figure out how to get back to that.
But one thing you have seen from the Division II, Division III, the other division coaches, is they really like this event. The National Duels is it's one of those things that they peak for, especially when you look at Division III with Augsburg and Wartburg, that have won every single National Duels title since the Division III inception in 2002. What are you hearing from coaches from those from the divisions we're talking about this weekend that like this format and like being with all these other programs?
Well, yeah, you know, unlike some of the big Division I programs that have the very big budgets, it's hard for some of the D2, D3, NAIA, junior college, and women's teams to compete on sort of a national schedule. So this affords, you know, a lot of those coaches and teams an opportunity to come together in one place. So it's one trip, and Fort Wayne is very centrally located for the most part. Where we have our critical messes of programs in the East and the Midwest. So it really is a very cost-effective way for many of those teams to get the best competition within their respective divisions. And I think that's why this is going so well for so long.
We've seen rapid growth in Division III, and again, like the footprint of Division III, a lot of these teams are being added in the Northeast and in the Southeast. And of course, there's been the normal additions there in the Midwest, but Fort Wayne, if you put a dot in it and you do the whole, that 500-mile radius, that pretty much does encompass most of the teams, save your Johnson and Wales out in Rhode Island. But when you look at the number of teams in this event, there are 40 of the 86 have been started since the turn of the century, since 2000, all 14 women's programs. And we're seeing the landscape of Division II and the NAIA really especially has been changed drastically with the addition of these new programs.
No, exactly. I mean, we're seeing explosive growth at these lower levels. And one of the things I really love about this event, it really gives us an opportunity to celebrate that growth. In fact, one of our commitments to the coaches is we will nationally televise one exciting dual meet from each of the five collegiate divisions on Fox College Sports on a two-week tape delay. So that'll be five dual meets, and each dual meet is rebroadcasted a minimum of 10 times. So that's 50 dual meets televised to a potential universe of upwards to 54 million homes each airing, which really just gives us a great opportunity to tell the story of the unbelievable growth that's going on in these collegiate divisions and to just celebrate, you know, all of the nationally ranked competitors and teams that are participating.
Yeah, having had the opportunity to call those matches over the years, they are exciting, and it's not always just going to be the final, too. We've had semifinals, we've had fifth-place bouts, we've had a diverse swath of different teams and rounds from this. Now, talking about Fort Wayne here, the Allen County War Memorial Coliseum, there's a lot going on. You said there's like 20-something mats. The schedule, with it being a Thursday-Friday, what goes into that decision?
Well, we're always, there's other events, obviously, at a facility like that. Part of our challenge is there aren't many facilities in the country that are big enough to house this event. You know, it's a lot of mats, a lot of competition. As you had said, our partner on this, New Way, has a big high school event that runs in parallel with our college event. So you really, the goal is to find something that's kind of equidistant between the Midwest and the East. And that a lot of the teams can drive to, most coming in by bus. And so, I mean, this Coliseum is, those people that have been there, it's just mammoth. You know, it's mammoth in size. And we also, everything can take place in one place. It's not like you have two different buildings connected by a tunnel and you've got competition going on in both. In this situation, all the college dual meets are going on, you know, in one venue, and that's great for the fan and the spectator. Also want to mention that our partners at Track Wrestling will be web streaming this live, and they do such a great job in that regard. Every mat will be live streamed, and so those people that are unable to make it in person, you know, we hope they'll enjoy the action via web streaming.
Yeah, and that's via TrackCast. That is $19.95, and that is for everything. So if you're, say you've got a kid that you can't go out and watch in one of the youth divisions, that whole price tag is actually the entire thing. So it's not just a college price and then all the opens in the college open division and the youth tournaments along with it. That's everything that's thrown in there. So that's a pretty good deal if you can't make it. Tickets actually for this thing, if you are in the area, $40 for an all-session pass, also fairly reasonable for this level, $345. Nationally ranked wrestlers, Mike.
Yeah, I mean it's priced very, very well, and anybody that wants to get out and see some of the best wrestling in the country, you know, Fort Wayne, Indiana, will have something for everybody for sure. Hey, Jason, if I might add, you know, we talked about the growth of wrestling in these collegiate divisions. I also want to just mention, we're already at 19 new college wrestling programs in all collegiate divisions for next year. And we've been adding between 15 and 25 new programs almost every year. And it's, in fact, 9 of those 19 programs are women's programs. So you know, there's no doubt that some of the future participating teams in this event are being established right now as we speak.
Well, what's also interesting about the dynamic of the 9 women's programs, we've actually had a school add women's wrestling on its own right now. Southwestern added women's wrestling. That's something that, you know, we were thinking back when this push to start to get women's wrestling as an emerging sport, and that it would, you know, you could add programs in tandem like we've seen so many other places. Mm-hmm. But this is the first one that's added a women's program on its own without a complementary men's program.
That's exactly right. That's located in Kansas, an NAIA program. Yep.
So as far as let's circle back, as we're gonna go off on a tangent here and talk about the women's wrestling just for a moment and its emerging sports application. Sally Roberts and Wrestle Like a Girl has worked with the NWCA, the National Wrestling Hall of Fame, USA Wrestling, and this is a discussion we were having back when I was working there. Geez, almost Mike, at this point, 2005 to 2008, I was 13. It's been that long since I was in that office, and we were talking about it then. What has really been the big reason that the NCAA has been receptive to the emerging sports status application, why people like Wrestle Like a Girl have been involved? I mean, it seems like this has really taken fire in the last 6 months, 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's more organizations working on it. And, you know, you mentioned a lot of them. I might also mention New Way has been very, very active in promoting women's wrestling at the high school level. And they actually just helped fund a full-time position at Adrian College up in Michigan. And so there's a lot of organizations out there working around the clock. And I might also add, you know, as excited as we are about the prospects of NCAA emerging sports status, we're also working just as hard with the NAIA and the National Junior College to get them to recognize the same status, because the goal here is to make sure that all the collegiate divisions sort of get that status at the same time. And because the truth of the matter is, the NAIA was actually into women's wrestling long before the NCAA member institutions were. And so it's, and we actually have more NAIA women's teams out there. So it's very possible that with a little bit of luck, we'll get this designation across the board in all these different governing bodies.
Yeah, I think without looking at the numbers specifically, but if there's, you know, we're approaching 40, over 40 women's programs, more than half of those are at NAIA institutions. So they've definitely, carried the flag there and those type of programs. And shifting gears a little bit, we're going to talk a little bit about Division One, because the school that's just recently announced it was starting a men's and women's team in Division One, Presbyterian College in South Carolina, is kind of very, it's similar to the style of NAIA and Division Two, Division Three programs that are adding, even though it is a Division One institution. How closely do you think schools of every division are going to be looking at the blueprint that Presbyterian is starting?
Well, they're looking at it very, very closely. I mean, we're out talking with many of them. And, you know, what it all boils down to is student loan debt is escalating through the roof. And so these many colleges and universities across the country are looking for inexpensive ways of bolstering undergraduate enrollment. And really, when you get outside of the 60 or so Division 1A institutions out there, a growing number of Division I institutions are actually enrollment driven as well. And those are the universities we're really targeting. Wrestling is such an inexpensive sport to add. And we have case studies out there, and we have a case study Division III program indicating that the school netted over $1 million by the third year just with a men's program. So when you add men's and women's, it's a really big number. And even for the collegiate divisions that have scholarships, you know, you're still in that $500,000 to $800,000 range, depending on the cost of a scholarship. So it's a very attractive business model that we can share with these college presidents and directors of enrollment management. And we just have to make sure that our participation numbers for boys and girls at the high school level keep growing so we can keep pace with all the new college programs being added.
One thing that your office has been very active on and proactive is training coaches. This is something that goes along with the leadership academies for the faith-based institutions that's typically held in Edwardsville. And of course, the leadership academy proper that's just ahead of the NWCA convention. This is stressful because you've also got a process to help train coaches to understand admissions and eligibility requirements, not just technique, and they're adding programs just as fast as you can put qualified coaches out into that field.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, as exciting as it is to be adding all these new college wrestling programs, I think we're up to, I think, what were we, 192?
192, yeah.
since 2000. But the most important part is knowing that we can sustain them. And the only way that we know that's possible is by having great coaches to lead them. And so every year, we provide 100 full scholarships. I should say upwards to 100 full scholarships for deserving men's and women's head and assistant coaches to go through this comprehensive CEO leadership training program. And it's just been great to know that when we get these new programs started, we have these graduates that we can offer up for these schools to hire. And it's been a great strategy for making sure they're all sustainable. I might mention that this last fall, we've adapted the CEO Leadership Academy for high school coaches across the country. And through a partnership with the Marine Corps, we conducted nine academies in different states around the country. And we're off to a really, really good start. And yeah, I think we all know that to be a successful coach today and to run a strong program, it's so much more than technical, tactical. And as institutional funding gets more and more stressed, coaches today have to have those entrepreneurial skills to be able to supplement their program budgets. And that's really what this CEO Academy is designed to do. So I think there's a lot of good movement in that regard.
Talk about retention with these athletes on these new programs. And we've seen the numbers that the National Federation of National High School, what is it? The NFHS doesn't stand for what it is. National Association of State High School Associations, National Federation of State High School Associations, I think is what it means. And, you know, I've run the numbers, and it's like the difference of us on a downward trend and the difference between us as a sport on an upward trend in the sport of, especially talking about boys wrestling, because girls wrestling at that age group is still growing almost exponentially. But the difference is one kid per team could totally make that trend. Instead of losing 40,000 a year, we could gain 40,000 a year. I mean, what is the hardest part that you guys have seen in trying to get these coaches that are member coaches within the NWCA or through these leadership programs to get one more kid per team? That's really all it takes to give us record numbers.
No, I mean, that's exactly right. It's you know, our as a wrestling community, we just need to make a top priority that we are not going to forfeit any weight classes, you know, that we're going to fill, you know, every weight class in the lineup. And to your point, you know, recruit one or two additional students into our sport and to keep them involved in our sport. And I mean, let's face it, wrestling is a very challenging sport. You know, we live in a society where everything's geared towards making things easy. There's nothing easy about wrestling. But we know, I think the most important speaking point we have about our sport is what becomes of a wrestler when they're done competing. And what we're doing in the CEO Leadership Academy is we're just equipping our high school and college coaches with these speaking points that really resonate well with parents and with school administrators. And, you know, recently the National Wrestling Coaches Association has merged with Wrestlers in Business. And we are now uniquely positioned better than ever to be able to support our wrestlers well after their competition days are over into their careers. We have a unique way of bringing together wrestlers with wrestler-owned businesses. And it's going to be opportunities like that that's going to make it easier for the coach to convince parents that even as grueling as our sport might be, few, if any, sports will do more to better prepare a student for success in life after the competition's over with.
Now, you mentioned that, and of course, that kind of is a natural segue into the discussion about the Wrestlers in Business Network and its relationship with the NWCA. You and I had a brief conversation at the Midlands about the Wrestlers in Business Network being an arm to also help the growth of these new programs and find where the alumni are, where are the donors, where are the people that want to have a wrestling program and bring them back into the wrestling family. How's that relationship been the last couple of years? Of course, they're involved with the All-Star Classic, but when it comes to the Leadership Academy and the starting of new programs, where's the synergy between the NWCA and the Wrestlers in Business Network?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, our ultimate vision for Wrestlers in Business is to have a chapter in and around every college wrestling program across the country. Now, we may have one chapter serving multiple college programs, but the idea is to have a corporate support structure in and around every college program we have. And these networks will be able to help in a variety of ways. You know, being that we're trying to really reinforce the CEO skills of being a coach, what better group of people to help coaches with, from a practical standpoint, implementing these business practices than real business leaders? And so in many of our existing chapters we have around the country, whether it's Washington, D.C. or Princeton, New Jersey or Cleveland, or, you know, we actually, as we speak, we have business leaders that are actually mentoring our high school and college coaches and helping them build better structure around their programs. So that's one big piece of this. The other big piece of this is, if you ask me, what's the single most impactful thing we could do as a wrestling community to protect the high school and college wrestling programs we have, quite frankly, any program at any level in a community, I would answer you by saying, as long as we have an organized group of influential business leaders, you know, mobilized in any community, just their presence will do more to protect the program than probably anything else we could do. And that was really illustrated a couple of years ago at Cleveland State when they announced they were dropping their wrestling program. You know, we have business leaders connected in that chapter that are just so influential that the university, they weren't even alums of Cleveland State. They've never donated a penny to Cleveland State, but just their presence was such that the university couldn't possibly think of alienating them. So imagine if we can recreate that model in communities across the country. Not to mention, I think we all know we've lost over 500 college wrestling programs between 1972 and 1999. Think of how many wrestlers have drifted away from our sport. And as we get these chapters up and running around the country, and it creates this gravitational pull and pulls them back into the sport, imagine how strong our sport could possibly become.
Shifting gears back to Matt Mayhem, the Division II, Division III NAIA Junior College Women's Collegiate Wrestling Association. As it ties to the new programs, we've seen Notre Dame College start out from a brand new program, win a couple NAIA titles, then reclassify to Division II. They're a player. Cal Baptist, in its last year of Division II, they bring a strong team. From a wrestling fan perspective, and I know you're always busy.
Right? How about Grandview? That would be another one.
Well, they're going for their sixth straight title. Wartburg's going for their seventh. Wartburg's got more titles than anybody else. I'll actually talk about that on another program here, focusing on the National Duels. But we've got these new programs, And just to sit back as a wrestling fan, to see teams you haven't seen before, where did these guys come from? Holy crap, they are good. You know, you're in the business of building wrestling programs. What's it mean to you to actually have a chance to sit back and watch some of these teams and be like, wow, they, I remember when we made that first call and now they're in the National Duels Finals.
Yeah, it's the most satisfying part of the whole opportunity. There's no doubt about it. You know, I know how hard that the coaches work at it and you know, how much support that the schools make to it. And it's just, you know, there's few things I do, if any. I can't think of anything that's more satisfying than that phenomenon. You know, on average, about 5% of high school athletes have a chance to play their sport in college. And in wrestling, it's like 2.4%. So when you share that statistic with a college administration, that means two things to them. It means, A, they're going to incrementally grow their undergraduate enrollment. And number two, it means they can become nationally competitive relatively quickly. And those two things are resonate very well with these universities. And we have so many case studies. They don't have to take our word for it. We can point to many of the examples that you've just pointed out. And sometimes, believe it or not, the hardest part of this is it comes across as too good to be true. And but the good news is, again, with all these case studies we have, it's easy to overcome that concern that an administration might have.
As we look at the depth of the field, what, you know, we talked about Augsburg and Wartburg pretty much ad nauseum when you talk about Division III wrestling, but is there one particular matchup that you look forward to every single year at this event, whether it be a Division II matchup or a women's matchup?
I'll tell you what I like. I just like the upsets. And every year there's so many of them. You know, in a lot of these collegiate divisions, they don't really compete against each other that much, if ever, during the year. And so sometimes the seeding is very, very tricky, because there's not a lot of common opponents. And so I always sit there and I'm just asking myself, you know, when's the next big upset coming? And usually you don't have to wait very long.
Yeah, last year we had two unseeded teams in the semis in Division II, Colorado State Pueblo and Wheeling Jesuit, both reinstated brand new programs. They went to criteria in the semis to make the finals. And then, well, as luck would have it, they meet in the first round this year. So, you know, it's one of those things that this event can also create some non-traditional rivalries, because I know that the folks out in Pueblo really aren't sitting there in other sports going, man, we need to get amped up for Wheeling Jesuit wrestling. That's the way it's going to be from here on out.
Exactly.
Information about the Matt Mayhem, the multi-divisional national duels, is at nwcaonline.com. All the links to tickets and information is there. The links to where you can watch, where you can follow it throughout the course of the tournament, is at trackwrestling.com. Of course, there is a subscription right there. And Micah, in the time we got left, talk about Matt Mayhem, specifically the tournament and the people of Fort Wayne and the event sponsors and those that helped the NWCA get this thing up and rolling kind of on its own without the Division I since 2012. You know, where does the appreciation lie?
Well, as you can imagine, I mean, an event like this doesn't happen without an army of volunteers. And Dave Dean at New Way just goes so far above and beyond the call of duty to create that national championship pageantry. And so, you know, there are no words to fully express how grateful we are to him and his organization. You know, we have the Marine Corps, we have Thoroughworks, InBody, and Applied Silver as major corporate sponsors that have been very, very generous to us along the way. And you know, none of this happens without, of course, the support of the sponsors, but of course the support of the coaches. We have so many of the top teams participating, and the people at Fort Wayne, you know, they just make you feel at home, and it's an easy place to want to go back to year after year after year. So we're looking for another great event and appreciate your help in getting the word out. We hope we see lots of people in Fort Wayne this over the next couple of days.
Yeah, we talked about the 345 individuals. Looks like, I think, 56 nationally ranked teams. It's all in the press release, folks. I told you, I wrote it. It was a daunting task to go through 86 teams and develop all that stuff. But yeah, over 50 teams nationally ranked. So, Mike, good luck with the crew there at Fort Wayne, and we'll be watching on Track Wrestling.
Thanks a lot, Dave.
Subscribe to the World Wrestling Resource Podcast by going to wwrpodcast.com and check it out on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spreaker, or wherever you find your podcasts. World Wrestling Resource at worldwrestlingresource.com.
This show is part of the Matt Talk Podcast Network. For more wrestling podcasts, head over to MattTalkOnline.com.